We serve a good God, amen. Can you hear me now? Amen. I love the word that Pastor Sharon just said, that we are going to grow, amen. Come on, get excited, amen. And it's, well, one person likes that, hallelujah. So it's such a word in season, because what God gave me last night, I was in my room for a good 5 hours last night, and I was originally going to preach a completely different message. And I was going to bring in a toaster and feed some of you guys Vegemite, but we'll do that for a later day. It's not always the way that the Lord, he puts something in your heart and you get all excited and passionate. And then at the last minute, it's like, nope, I don't want you to speak on that. I want you to speak on this. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, God's going to move today. Come on. Oh, look at people. Come on, let's get alive. We're in the church of Jesus Christ. We should be happy. We should be excited. Turn to the person next to you again and say, God's going to move today. With conviction. This message that God has given me, I know that Pastor Guy is going to love, because it's all about fishing. Where are the men in the house? Who likes fishing in the, you know, who, come on men, where are you? Yeah. You know, last year, Pastor Guy took myself and Jordan on his boat, which was a very, very blessed treat. If I can get someone to give me a drink of water, if that's okay. There, so yeah. And anyway, so we just moved up from Melbourne, and it was really, we're still getting into the gist of things, living in Brisbane and being in a subtropical climate. You sort of expect there's going to be animals and fish that are not like you get down there. So anyway, to cut a long story short, we go on this boat and we get nothing. And we're fishing and we're fishing, and guys, oh, no, there's fish here, there's fish here. I think it was Jordan that won the quarter, didn't he? I think it was Jordan. Anyway, so we're talking, we're doing the spiritual stuff, aka fishing, and Jordan's rod all of a sudden starts to go, and I'm like, oh, cool, we got a fish from Brisbane, this is awesome. And then he pulled it in, and it was the ugliest thing I have ever seen in my life. Was it me, was it? I'm putting the blame on my son, if you don't mind. And anyway, but the message that God has given me is all to do with fishing and multiplication. Amen? How many people believe that God has called you to be multiplied in every aspect of your life? Come on, how many people know that when you come to the throne of God and Jesus has forgiven you for your sins and he starts to move in your life, multiplication is a fruit of what Jesus has done in our lives. Amen? Turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 5. If you do not know where it is, you will find it after Genesis and before Revelation. Amen? Get excited, church. It's a bit hard, bit daunting when you're preaching at your own church, and some of you guys that know me know that I can be a little bit loud, and I'm not going to change that today. Father, we thank you and we bless you. We give you all the glory. You are a good God. You are an awesome God, and we just want to say we love you, and we are so thankful for your mercy and for your grace and your provision over our lives, Lord. There are so many things we can say, but it will never amount to just the glorious God that you are. So, Lord, we say together, we thank you for all that you've done in our lives. And, Lord, as I stand before your people, I would ask, Lord, that you would forgive me if I have done things, thought things, said things that are contrary to your spirit. And I pray, Lord, that right now you use me as your servant for these people. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said? Amen. You know, my prayer today is that you don't look at me. My prayer today is that you look at the Word of God. My prayer is that you don't see Justin, that loud, pretty good-looking 40-year-old man, but instead, don't laugh, but instead that you see the message that God has given me to carry to you. And we're going to start in verse 1, chapter 5 of Luke. It says, "And so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking." Today I want to talk about three principles that God has put in my heart about what it means to be a Christian. You see, we all come to a point where we're sitting by a lake or a desert or a place where Jesus isn't for a short while, for a time. And we're doing our own thing. And then all of a sudden, this man called Jesus comes into our lives. And he stands by the edge of our boats, our jobs, what we do in life, our schools, the things that we do in our daily routine. All of a sudden, this man called Jesus comes into our realm and says, hey, I want to talk with you. But I want you to come with me. I want you to follow me. You see, Jesus will always come at a time where we least expect it. You see, Peter was fishing, or Simon, his name was back then. He was fishing. He was doing what he was called to do. And Jesus comes into his world and says, I want you to launch back out your boat again. Three principles of this message is the call, the process, and the multiplication. Amen? Are you ready to hear something? You don't sound it. Get excited, church. Thank you, Pastor Sharon. I love you. You'd be so great in children's church, I reckon. And so anyway, we see Peter. He's been toiling all night, and he's been like working, and nothing has happened. Straight away, we can know that sometimes we try and do things, but if Jesus is not there, it's going to be fruitless. Sometimes we're going to try and do things in our own strength, but if Jesus is not there, it's just not going to happen, amen? And so all of a sudden, Jesus comes and says, Simon, I want you to go back out again. Ooh. Go back out. Oh, but Lord, I've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. Don't worry about that, Simon. Don't worry about you haven't caught anything. Just trust me. And Simon wasn't even a believer in this moment. You see, Jesus had just come out from the wilderness. And all of a sudden, he sees this man talk to him in a way that he's never been spoken before. And he says, go out, launch out again. And Simon turns around and says, we've toiled all night, but at your word, I will obey your command. Simon never knew this guy. Simon didn't know who Jesus was. Simon was just a fisherman. And all of a sudden, he says, Lord, at your word, I'll go. And he went out. And we know the story. So one, the first principle is, when we come to Jesus Christ, we all get a call. Christ calls every single one of us to do something. You see, being a Christian isn't just about coming, hearing a call, and staying where you are. No, God says, good, praise God. Now you believe in my son. I have washed you with my son's blood, but now you're going to get to work. See, this is the thing that a lot of people don't understand, that when Christ calls us, he doesn't call us just to stay. He calls us to go back out again. You see, Simon was a fisherman. He caught nothing, but the first thing that Jesus said to him was, go back out again. But this time, do it with my word. This time, do it with what I tell you to do. And we can see here, now this is where it's going to get really cool. In verse 6, it says here, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. When Christ fulfills his prophecies and his words over our lives, sometimes we are not in a position to carry it. The nets were breaking. When the multiplication of Christ comes, sometimes it comes so great that we cannot fathom nor handle what he has given us. See, there's a process to get to that point. You see, I believe with all my heart that when we read these words in the Bible, when the nets were breaking, see, Christ never does anything without a purpose. Christ never gives us insight without a revelation. There is always something deeper in Christ. When we see something as simple as a net breaking, we can be blasé about it and say, oh, it's just a net breaking. But there is a point to this, and I'm going to show you why. So Simon goes back out into the water, fishes, comes back, and all of a sudden, his nets are breaking. He has to call other people to say, guys, come, come, come. There's a problem here. What's the problem? We got too much fish. What? But you caught nothing. I know, but this random dude called Jesus told me to do it. I did it and my nets are breaking. You see, sometimes when we come to Christ, we want everything straight away. Sometimes when we come to Christ, we say, oh, hallelujah, praise God, I'm anointed now to go out and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But you can't carry the glory of God. He needs to bring us through a process. Christianity is a process. It is a process of being from having the call to going through the war to get to the victory. Did you hear me? We go through a process of hearing the call, going through the war to achieve the victory. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 21. For 3.5 years, Simon had walked, whose name had become Peter, as we know. For 3.5 years, they had walked with Jesus. They had walked and seen miracles. You know, sometimes I believe we as Christians, we forget that Jesus is powerful. Sometimes I think we become so blasé about church. We become so, what's the word I'm looking for? Familiar. We become so familiar with church that we come, we sing 3 songs, we lift our hands, we do communion, we listen to a really cool white, 40-year-old white man preaching. That would be me. And of course, Pastor Guy, but he's a Kiwi, but we won't hold that against him. Anyway, so you didn't laugh at that one. And so anyway, sometimes we become so blasé about church life that the impact and the power of Jesus Christ becomes non-existent. Amen? We come and we have this mentality that, oh yeah, we're going to sing, we're going to pray, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, then we're going to go home. But being a Christian is more than this. Being a Christian is more than just sitting in a church and doing the blasé thing. And I believe we are in danger. The church of Jesus Christ today is in danger of becoming blasé to the things of God. I believe, seriously, we are at peril right now because the church of Jesus Christ has become familiar. You can even become familiar with the miracles. Seriously, you go to other countries and for all God's glory, we minister predominantly in the Philippines, which we're going again in 2 weeks. And we've seen miracles. The first couple of times, we're like, whoa, this is crazy. I mean, we see people like with Pastor Guy prayed for an old man in Novaliches. And he came in like, he ran. When he prayed for it, he was running around that room and he was jumping. And everyone's like, whoa. Me, I was like, oh, you've seen it before. And I'm not being disrespectful, but we can become so blasé. And when we become blasé, the power becomes limited because we don't walk in it. John chapter 21, look at this. We're going to start in verse 3. Are you with me? It says, Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. Stop right there. 3.5 years of walking with Jesus, after Jesus has gone on the cross and died, the first thing Peter did was go back to what he knew. One of the biggest failures that we do as Christians is that we go back to what we knew, but without the anointing. Peter, if you read the scriptures and you do your study, you'll find that Peter actually believed for a season that everything had finished, that everything Jesus said was not true. He promised us that he would rise again. Where is he? In fact, Peter wasn't there when Christ was crucified. Peter went back to his boat. But look at this in verse 3. It says, and Peter said, I am going fishing. And they said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat. And again, that night, they caught nothing. Are we seeing the same picture here? The call of Peter or of Simon, they caught nothing. 3.5 years of being with Jesus, again. Jesus had gone onto the cross and descended. Again, they caught nothing. Verse 4, but when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. That's crazy. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. The right side in the Hebrew is place of power. Jesus wasn't just saying, cast your nets. He says, cast your nets into my power. Into the place where I provide. Into the place where my arm shall give all that you need. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Same scenario. 3.5 years ago, Simon caught nothing and couldn't handle the provision. In verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, fish laid on it and bread, and Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. And look at this in verse 11. Simon Peter went up, and then notice this is a place where it doesn't just say Simon or Peter, it says Simon Peter, before and after. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. I want you to catch this. The same scenario. 3.5 years prior to that, Simon couldn't handle the provision. The net was breaking. They couldn't handle it. It was just too much for them. And sometimes we as Christians, we are a bit like this. We want all the glory. We want all the provision. But we just are not in a position to handle it. There needs to be a process. There needs to be a discipleship. There needs to be a time of learning and understanding the ways and manners of God. And there needs to be a time where we actually let go of all our preconceived ideas and let Christ be the one who gives us the vision. There is too many opinions in church today. Oh, someone like that. There are too many opinions in churches today. One person thinks this, another person thinks this, and oh my goodness, just give me the words of Christ. Don't give me your opinion, I want Christ. Don't give me what you think, Christ. This whole WWJD, what would Jesus do? Get rid of it from your mentality. It's an assumption of what you think Christ would have done. It should be, what did Jesus do? Because the Bible says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Are you getting something? We need to completely renovate the way we think about Christ and the way we do church. Ooh, I'm getting fired up. I'm sorry, guys, but this is what I'm preaching like when I'm in international, so hope you like it. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, and there were so many fish, yet it was not broken. I'm telling you right now, multiplication is coming to this church. Oh, wow, nobody likes that one. Multiplication is coming to your life. Oh, it's getting there. Multiplication is coming to your ministry. No, they're not very excited today, are they? I really believe in this message. God wants to bring multiplication to your life, but he needs to drag you through the process. Look at that, drag it. In John chapter 21, when they drag the nets in, the Bible says that his friends had to drag the net. Oh, you're not hearing me. You have to drag in the multiplication. And it's going to be so great. The Bible teaches that not only you are going to be able to carry it, there's going to be people around you that are going to bring in what God has given you. That's for this church. This church is going to multiply. This church is going to become a dragnet of men and women who hear the call of God and who feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you're walking with me in this, but I'm telling you that you guys are going to be completely and utterly smashed in the Spirit of God, and he's going to drag in multiplication over your lives. There is multiplication coming over your lives. Amen? Are you hearing me? But we've got to get to a point where we can handle it. It's all very well saying, oh, till next Sunday, our church is going to be 500 people. Great. How are we going to handle them? Where are the leaders that can handle them? Where are the people that are raising up and said, okay, let me do something? Where are the people? Oh, it's a bit of a rebuke. I'm not going to yell like Pastor Brian. I hope he's not watching this. I love you, Pastor Brian. And I love this. He says, although there were so many, the net was not broken. So we get the call of Jesus Christ. Amen? He calls us to do great things. The Bible actually says that we should do greater things than Christ. Don't know where it is. Can you find it for me? It says somewhere. No, trust me, it actually is in the Bible. Jesus turned around and said, greater things shall you do. Well, why are we not doing it? What is the greater things? It is a multitude of multiplication. God wants, and this is not a prosperity message, because a prosperity message will tell you God just wants to bless you and there's nothing, no, there's a requirement. You have to go through the process. Matthew chapter 16, let's have a look at this. Now, this is the part that people don't like and the part I like to say. Nobody likes to hear it, but preachers love to give it. Because we can turn around and stand up here and say, God wants to give you a miracle of money and God wants to bless you with your finances. It's not going to work like that. There is a process. Matthew 16, verse 24, the scripture that everybody loves to hate and hates to love. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his own cross and follow me. Did not Jesus say to Simon, follow me? He said in verse 10 of chapter 5, he says, do not fear nor be afraid, for now I will make you a fisher of men. The multitude that God speaks is not necessarily about finances or about ministry. It is about evangelism. It is about bringing people into the house of God. The multitude is coming, but there is a process. Be very good if we can just all snap our fingers and have everybody here and, oh, sing Kumbaya and everything's, you know, great and rosy. But it's not going to work that way. Jesus calls us into a process of multiplication. In our families, myself and my beautiful wife Carolina are a testament to that. We've multiplied very well. I was talking to a Samoan, you know, friend of mine at work just this week, and I'm driving the one time Carolina lets me drive the Honda to work. I'm driving my Honda, and they used to see me in my red jackaroo, and Samoan guy comes up to me and goes, "Hey, Yus," which means brother. I said, "Yeah," because. Are you a family of four-wheel drives or something? I went, yeah, pretty much everybody in our family has a four-wheel drive. You will not find one sedan in our family. My brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my father-in-law, everybody has a four-wheel drive. We're a big family. And he said to me, he goes, why have you got 70 four-wheel drives? I said, bro, I've got four kids. He goes, yeah, that's nothing. To me, it's something. Traditionally, white or Caucasian families don't have large families, you know. We think about money and bills and all that kind of. He said to me, nah, I've got 12. What? Are you crazy, bro? My father-in-law, how many brothers and sisters? Is there like 15,000 in his family? I think there's like 15, isn't there? 15 brothers and sisters. That's multiplication. Maybe not wise multiplication, but it's multiplication nonetheless. But when God says, I'll multiply your families, and he's not specifically saying physically. It means spiritually, I'm going to multiply you. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. He will multiply your families, but there is a process. The process is simply take up your cross and follow him. God, Jesus never said, by following me, it's going to be easy. In fact, he told us the opposite. He said, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. That's not a very inviting invitation. Oh, yes, Lord, Jesus comes to your boat. I want to follow you, Lord. Amen. Praise God, Son. Now go as a lamb amongst wolves. What? That's the invitation of multiplication, is to become a lamb amongst wolves. It's not a very inviting proposition, is it? You see, we can stand beside our boat. We can rest on our jobs. We can rest even on our families. We can rest on our bank balance. We can rest on whatever it is that we have. But until Jesus calls us out from that, everything, absolutely everything, will be vain. It takes Jesus to come into our world. It takes Jesus to completely radicalize the way we think, the way we act. In fact, in the New Testament, it says 37 times, change the way you think and act. And then you go into the book of Acts. The disciples said time and time again, change the way you think and act. It's a process. And when we start to change the way we think, when we start to change the way we act, then the multiplication comes. Did you know so many people in church today have missed the blessing because they just haven't gone through the process? So many people have been called by God to do great and wonderful and awesome things, but because they do not want to go through the process of following what he said, they miss out. You see, the net was breaking. Jesus is wonderful in our lives. He promises so much, but if we're not careful, we won't be able to hold it. We have to go through the war to get to the multiplication. We live... I'm going to preach 5 more minutes. Said all I want to say, pretty much. We live in a very drive-through mentality generation. We live in a generation today where we want everything now. We want everything, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And God wants to give. Let's be honest. His promises are yes and amen. John 10:10. You know, for the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I come to give life and life in abundance. It says in 1 Corinthians, it says, that, and we shall be abundant in all things. So yes, absolutely, God wants to give us. And his very heart is to bless his children. I have four children, and I love them dearly. And I, you know, when it comes Christmas or birthdays, Carolina gets really upset with me sometimes because I go over what I should be spending. Now, when you've got a budget, you can only spend $150. No, forget your $100. I'm going to give something for my daughter. Because it's my daughter. I want to bless my daughter. My son Josiah's been nagging me recently for a little motorbike. He's not going to get it. Unless some of you guys, you know. But do I want to give him this? Absolutely. You see, the heart of God is to bless. But don't be naive. The blessing can hurt us. The blessing can hurt us. It can become so burdensome that it breaks us. Somebody said, Kim, you mentioned that we need to be broken down. Was it? Yeah, it was you, wasn't it? Absolutely, we need to be broken down. We have to be broken like a net. See, the nets were breaking, but they still had the multitude inside. But what would have happened if the nets completely ripped? Think about it. So close, yet so far. Oh, I got all this stuff. Oh, it's getting lighter. Oh, God, you're helping me. Oh, praise God. The Holy Spirit is lifting my burden. Oh, this is, and it's gone. What happened? You couldn't carry it. We need to become a generation of Christians where we go through the process to be able to carry the anointing of God. Because the anointing is not cheap. The anointing is not something that we can just switch on and switch off. It is a burden. When the anointing flows in us, through us, around us, and on us, it becomes so heavy. I experienced 4 years ago, for the first time in my Christian life, what I truly believe to be a Kairos moment in my life. Where the burden, the anointing of God Almighty came upon my shoulders. And I could not stand. I couldn't even breathe. It was so heavy. All I could do was fall on my knees and just pray and worship. Are you able to carry the multitude in your life? Are you in a position where you've gone through the process, where you can handle what God has for you? Because mark my words, God has so much for this church. And he has so much for you individually. So much has been prophesied over this church. When we came up from Melbourne, there was no doubt in my mind the place we would call home was Harvest City Church. Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, despite we may clash heads with people from time to time. It's family, that's what they do. Christmas time is a lovely example of that in some families. You know, sometimes, you know, you can, what they say, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. I remember sometimes when we had functions as a young child, when all the family would get together, me and myself and my brother, we would put on our helmets. Literally. No, we wouldn't, but we'd know that at some point at that night, one brother is going to, against another brother, and woo! Churches are no different, people. We will clash from time to time. But I knew that when we came here, Harvest City was the place we call home because we know that we know that we know that multiplication is coming. And we have the best pastors. Seriously. We have seriously good pastors. And we, oh, thank you, Lord. Check this out, guys. This is a revelation. Woo! Peter couldn't wait to meet with Jesus. He was a fisherman. He saw the multitude again, and the first thing Peter did was to take off his garment and get in that water and rush to where Jesus was. It took his brothers and friends to drag in the multitude. Everyone say, be like Peter. Come on, you know those little stick things that you see in the back of the cards? Be like Peter. When Jesus comes to your lake, get into his presence. Go and be with him. Don't worry, because you've trained people up to carry the load behind you. That's exactly what this church is going to pass. This couple here, I know you don't like this, but I'm doing this because God told me to do this. This couple here is going to be absolutely filled with multiplication. It's going to take us to bring in the load. Are you hearing me? Multiplication is coming to this church. But we need to rise up, people. We need to rise up and do the work of the body of Christ and bring in the anointing and the multitude and the new fish that are going to be coming through that door. There are people that are going to be coming through that door in waves. And I'm telling you now, you think, oh, he's just saying this. This is actually true. This church is going to grow. And it's going to take us to bring in what these two have sown. Are you with me? Oh, you sound so excited again. My goodness me, if I was in the Philippines, people would be up on their chair going, woohoo! Maybe I get a little bit disappointed because when we minister international, seriously, when you preach a powerful message, us Australian people, we're too reserved. I'll be honest with you, we are so reserved. Oh no, I can't lift my hands and thank God. That looks silly. Okay, no, seriously, we have become this church where we are too ashamed to actually shout for joy. The Bible says, shout unto the Lord. I'm going to close with this. How can you scare the enemy if you... You see in the Old Testament, there was a portion in Scripture where Israel was called to go to war, and I think it's around Jericho, where Israel was called to go against the Philistines. And before they went to fight, they shouted and praised God. And the Philistines got so crazy that they actually started killing each other. Come on, people. How can you fight an enemy if, like, seriously, like, I'm a man of God. And thus says the Lord God. But that's how the church has become. If we want the multitude of God, we've got to go through the process of God. If we're going to go through the process of God, he's going to completely radicalize our thoughts. We're going to start to want to scream out his name. Let's think about the woman who, with the flow of blood, she didn't care about who was watching. She didn't care about who was listening. She just, Jesus! And the disciples said, tell her to be quiet. The man who was blind, Jesus! And disciples, tell him to be quiet. Why? Why? When multiplication comes, it's going to come in every aspect of our life. Our worship, our giving, our relationships, our ministries, our positions, our titles, which I don't really think is great. We've got that many titles in the kingdom of God today. It should be like a long card, a flip card of like, I'm Reverend, Bishop, Overseer, Apostle, Pastor, Deacon, you know, Prayer Warrior. Oh my goodness me. So many titles in the church today. Wrong kind of multiplication. The multiplication that we need as Christians is to be multiplied in the Holy Spirit. It's to completely empty ourselves of everything that we have had in our boat. It's very interesting, though, in finishing, I know I said that, but I promise I'll finish now. It's very interesting to note that when Jesus went, if we can go there actually, in Luke chapter 5 again. Spirit just put this into my head right now. I'll wrap it up with this. So it was the multitude pressed in verse 1 about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And then he got into one of the boats. The fishermen had already left their place. And it took Jesus to go into their realm, into their place of authority, into their place of provision, to remind them and to teach them who he was. Too many of us are still in our boat, holding on to what we know and not letting Jesus be the one to launch us out. Too many of us fall back on our intelligence, fall back on our humanistic wisdom. Too many of us fall back on what we have learned over years and years and years and years. You see, when Jesus got in the boat, the disciples weren't in it. It takes Jesus to completely empty us. Are you catch, can you catch that? Are you catching this? We need to be emptied. Completely empty. So that Jesus can come in and tell us to go back out. Oh, you're not getting this, church. We need to be completely empty. The fishermen had come in from catching nothing. By the way, you owe me a fishing trip. Just sort of float that one in because I'm abusing you spiritually right now. You owe me. They come back in from nothing. They were out washing their nets. Why do they need to wash their nets if they didn't catch anything? Seems a bit illogical, doesn't it? There was no fish, and maybe they had seaweed and whatever. But really, if there was no fish in there, why wash the nets? Think about it. And it takes Jesus to come into the boat and say, you've done it wrong, now come with me. But he said, but Jesus said, I don't want you to stand in the shallows. He says, now go out into the deep. Ooh. You prepared to go into the deep of God? Does not the Bible say the Holy Spirit searches even the deep, profound things of God? Do we not? Are we not temples of the Holy Spirit? Does not the Holy Spirit abide in us? Think about this. If the Holy Spirit abides in us, and the Holy Spirit, what the Scripture says, that He searches even the deep things, the hidden things of God, why are we not going into the deep? Why are we staying in the shallow? Why are we staying where it's safe? Why are we not prepared to allow God to increase our capacity to handle the multiplication? Why? It's a good question that I think we need to ask. Some of us in this building today, we have not allowed God to send us into the deep. We have not allowed God to send us through the process of picking up our cross and following it, myself included. Some of us in this place today, we have held on to what we know rather than to hold on to what He knows. Instead of allowing God to launch us once again in His way and having the benefits and the result of multiplication, we stay by the side of the lake washing our nets. It's time, church, that we go into the deep of God. It's time that we forget the petty little things that we all say and do and focus on going into the... let's be honest, I'm asking you a legitimate question. Who in this building wants to know the deep of God? We all, with all due respect, we all put our hands up and say, yes, we do, but do we live it? Is it just an emotional question to is it just an emotional answer to a question? Because if we really want to go into the deep of God, He is going to take us through a process that's going to hurt us. That was my Vegemite message, actually. Vegemite is a horrible thing if you have it in big clumps. See, Americans don't get this. Oh, Sam, I can see you, Sam. You're like, ooh, Vegemite. But here's the thing. Vegemite is actually good for us in small quantities. But if you have it in one big, it's going to taste like car oil. And it's going to be gross. And it's going to make you squirm. It's the same thing with the Spirit of the living God. He brings us into a process. And little by little, what does it say in Corinthians? He will not give us something that we cannot handle. It's a process, church. Can we pray?